Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Happy middle of the week here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Tiki Barber here. Sitting solo again. BT is out until next week. He'll return from his golf vacation down in Myrtle Beach. In the meantime, I'm taking you through 855-212-4227 is the way to get in touch with us, or you can hit us up on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. Samter is constantly monitoring it. I'm sure we'll have a poll question up at some point on the day. We have a loaded show for you. Lots to talk about, including the role of agents in the ever-evolving player control of the NBA. Dominique Wilkins, the human highlight machine, will join us at the end of this hour, 3:40 Eastern, 12:40 Pacific. Jeremy Roenick, JR, as we like to call him, NHL on NBC analyst, will join us at the top of the 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific hour to talk about the Game 7. It's a Game 7 in hockey. I didn't realize how few Game 7s there's been over the last seven or so years. The last one was back in 2011, a Game 7. We talk about it like it's this lore, but it's not around as often as we might think. Inbounds and out of bounds, football at the 40 as well, always on the docket. But we'll start with an article that was in Sports Illustrated yesterday that Anthony Davis's agent, Rich Paul, made some comments on. I think we knew some of this stuff already, but it just takes me back to where this all started. And it's obviously with LeBron. LeBron James and Anthony Davis have the same agent in Rich Paul. And back in 2010, we all remember when LeBron had his ridiculous press conference and announced that he was leaving Cleveland and going down to Miami to form a super team with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, and they went to four straight finals and won two of them, and it kind of felt like this unique, you know, cool piece of basketball history. Little did we know then that it would become what all superstars would want to do in their careers. And it's not as if superstars spend 3 years at the place that drafted them. It's not like you don't give it a chance and then they bounce. It's when they realize, just like LeBron realized, that this wasn't going to work, that I'm not going to win a championship. I got to go win a championship. And so LeBron took his skill set down to Miami, and he won a couple championships. Then he came back and kind of orchestrated the same thing in Cleveland. Kyrie was already there, but then he brought in all of his boys and Kevin Love, and they were able to steal one in 2016 from the Golden State Warriors, who were at the beginning of their dynasty, which is still going on now, as they're in their fifth consecutive NBA Finals, even though they're on the ropes a little bit against the Raptors. But the bigger story is this creation of teams, and I think that we like it. I think it's become one of the more powerful narratives in NBA basketball. The bad side of it is that you end up having some teams that are haves, and then there's a lot of teams that are have-nots, and they're constantly at the bottom of the pile, constantly trying to, you know, tank to get the lottery, get in the lottery and get the number one overall pick and take that can't-miss a prospect at the top of the draft. It's a constant cycle, and it's frustrating, right? Think of the Philadelphia 76ers for years. I mean, it felt like forever. They were in this process, as they like to call it, to build this roster with talented players and ultimately get in position to push deep into the postseason and potentially win a championship. And they did it. It felt like the organic way to do it, not dissimilar to how the Golden State Warriors did it. The Golden State Warriors just got a little bit lucky with some of the drafting that went on. But that's an inefficient way to try to win a championship. The more efficient way is to do it the LeBron James way. And this is where Rich Paul comes in. Now, Rich Paul, I don't know what kind of agent he is. I have no idea. He could be a screamer and a yeller and a demanding, and we got to have it this way. If I don't get my way this way, then LeBron's not going to do X, Y, Z. I have no idea. He could be very just conciliatory and say, look, this is what's going to happen. I hear from all reports, even Rajon Rondo said this a couple days ago, spent a lot of time with Chris Paul. He spent a lot of time with Chris Paul and said he seems like a great, great guy. But what he does is carry out the will of LeBron James. And if you didn't read this Sports Illustrated article, you should go read it, because he set this up so that the only place, or one of the only places, that he can go, and Anthony Davis, in this free agency a period that's right around the corner, a year away, and this trade backlog that's happened down in New Orleans, the only place that he can potentially go that's going to work out is the Los Angeles Lakers with his other client, LeBron James. And it's manipulative, and the NBA shouldn't have let it get to this point, but I think it is what it is. We talk about it. It's a storyline. We champion it. It hits the top of every radio show and a lot of TV shows that are talking about sports, because this movement of players is so interesting, and this creation, not development, but creation of a super team or a championship level team is interesting. Rich Paul said just a couple of days ago, and look, he's butchered this exit of Anthony Davis just a little bit. It got ugly during the regular season, as we saw, and it's still a little bit ugly now. But he made it even probably worse for potential suitors by saying there's basically two teams that Anthony Davis will sign a deal with: the New York Knicks or the Los Angeles Lakers. Wherever else he goes, no matter where, whether it's the Celtics who are competing, whether it's the Bucks, whether it's the Clippers, whether it's the Nets, this could be the 76ers, could be the Trailblazers, wherever he's going to be a free agent in 2020. So anyone who has hopes of getting Anthony Davis and convincing him, it's not going to matter. He's going to be in and be out and bounce after one season. Now, that can work, right? We're seeing it work with the Toronto Raptors right now with Kawhi Leonard. And we don't know where Kawhi is going to go, but that one-and-done thing could work. They're in the NBA Finals. Then they're a game away from getting a championship. It could work. It could be interesting. But I'm not sure that it's the right way to go for a lot of these teams. And the only way it makes sense is if it is the Los Angeles Lakers. And this is why. And this is why it's troubling. Rich Paul has this idea, or LeBron has this idea, and it puts itself out through his agent, Rich Paul, that I have 2 or 3 years left of my prime, and I want to win another championship, and I can't do it anywhere else other than L.A., because LeBron, for the first time really in his career, doesn't have control of where he is. He signed a 4-year deal. After 3 years, he can opt out. That opt-out is in 2021. So 2 more seasons, LeBron James is in Los Angeles before he has the opportunity to opt out and go somewhere else and try to win another championship. The only way he's getting one is if he gets the pieces that he needs in Los Angeles. And the way that this has played out, and it's been ugly, and it's been frustrating, and it's been, I don't know, there's been barbs back and forth. The only way this plays out the right way is if Anthony Davis ends up in Los Angeles. And since they have the same agent and Rich Paul, it just looks ugly. It just looks like the LeBron James-led agency headed by Rich Paul is manipulating the NBA to get exactly what LeBron James wants. And maybe that's great. But actually, I don't think it's that great. I don't like a top-heavy NBA. I don't like a player-heavy NBA. I want every team to have a chance. I think that's why, in some regards, this Toronto Raptors team is so interesting, because they weren't on the radar. They were the team that could never get past the semifinal or the conference championship. And now, all of a sudden, they're a game away from winning a championship against the power. Right? You like that underdog story. I think ultimately, with the Rich Pauls of the world, especially in collaboration with the LeBron Jameses of the world, are taking that underdog out of the conversation. And I don't know if I love that. And if you're the Celtics, or you're the Bucks, or you're the Clippers, or you're the Nets, or you're the 76ers, any of these teams that are thinking about going after one of these free agents. Is it really that appealing, ultimately, if you know that you can't go get them, and if you're not ready to win right now, it's a worthless trade for you. It's frustrating in a sense because we end up talking about the same group of guys getting to one place playing with one player, and that would be LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers. Look, if it happens and it works out and Anthony Davis gets to L.A. and LeBron and he win a championship and it feels all good, I mean, maybe we won't think about it and how it went down. The ends will likely justify the means, but it's frustrating to think about if you're all of these other teams who are trying to honestly and truly build a winner, knowing that you don't have a chance to actually build a winner because of the manipulation that goes on behind the scenes by agents and others. I mean, the story that Rich Paul reached out to Adam Silver and basically said, I don't like Luke Walton, and Adam Silver, because Adam Silver's come out and responded to this, said it actually did happen. What the hell is Adam Silver going to do about LeBron James not liking Luke Walton? Well, obviously something, because Luke Walton is no longer the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, and Magic Johnson, whether he got, you know, influence from inside or outside the organization, wanted to fire him. He stepped down before he could. The ends justify the means. LeBron didn't want Luke Walton. Luke Walton is no longer the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. And then there's this other story, which has been denied, but I don't doubt it, that Rich Paul was reaching out to coaches and asking them or interacting, not reaching out maybe, but interacting with coaches, asking them if they wanted to be on Vogel's staff with the Los Angeles Lakers. I the fact that the player, and sometimes through his proxy in the agent, is able to manipulate the NBA so far should be a troubling sign. Now, maybe this goes away when LeBron is retired. Maybe this goes away when the superstar isn't as meaningful to teams. If teams start winning, finding ways to win organically as opposed to winning with the superstar, maybe it goes away. But right now, I think this is the norm, at least for the next half a decade or so. And do you love it? 855-212-4227, or do you kind of hate it? I'm starting to hate it, I think. I think all the manipulation behind the scenes is not what I think this sport should be about. 855-212-4227, Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio. If you are one of these teams, the Celtics, the Bucks, Clippers, Nets, are you doing the rental of AD for a year? Because he's only signing with two places, the Lakers or the Knicks. Would you take him anyways? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki Barber here on CBS Sports Radio, an intercom station. It's interesting when I dig deep in my mind about this, because I want to say this is a player problem, that you know all these guys who have become superstars are exploiting the system and getting together. But is it really, or is it just a LeBron problem? Is this a connection to LeBron James? As we look at Rich Paul's client list, the biggest one right now, obviously, other than LeBron, is Anthony Davis, and he's going through this kind of ugly exit from New Orleans, which in some ways mirrors LeBron's ugly exit from Cleveland the first time. And it worked out. It kind of worked out for everybody because LeBron went back and won him a championship. But I don't know. Is this a good thing or is it a bad thing? Do you like it? Do you hate it? Let's go down to David, who's watching us on television in Alabama. I love Alabama. Should be down there in a couple weeks for Culture Ball. What's up, David? How you doing?
Hey, Tick, doing great today. First, I wanted to apologize to KD and to BT about my comment Friday about getting Durant off the couch to play, and very commendable.
Yeah, right. And he did. He listened to you. He listened to you, Dave. And now he's done.
Listen, he's played hard, and you have to commend him on that.
Agreed. What do you got on this?
Well, you know, I think it's one of those things that I'm not crazy about the players manipulate, but LeBron is so good that I think that he can bring in his peeps. I want my coach. I want my other players. I want this to be able to work for me. And I think he is so good that he can do it. And I think it's a little bit of a LeBron thing, but I think there are other players that are going to be able to do this. if they want to bring in those other pieces to bring in the championship. And I'm not crazy about it, but like you said, it's been done before.
Yeah.
And you may see AD there. You may see a couple of little pieces that come in, and all of a sudden the Lakers are in the finals again.
Well, I think you're right, David. I appreciate the call. And don't take the blame too much for KD. It's all ultimately on KD. He wanted to play. But, you know, it's interesting because Samter and I were talking about this before the show. Like, he's narrowed this thing down. Or Rich Paul has put out these comments saying Anthony Davis, no matter where he goes, is only going to stay for 1 year. He's going to be a free agent 2020. That doesn't necessarily mean that wherever he goes, can't re-sign him and get him in a long-term deal or whatever long-term constitutes in 2019. But if you're one of those other teams that I mentioned, whether it's the Celtics or the Bucks or whoever, the uncertainty and really getting him for 1 year and trying to do what Kawhi Leonard did with the Toronto Raptors is really your only prospect, right? The Knicks, for instance, like they could sit around and it doesn't make sense for the Knicks to do this if it's only 1 year, but Rich Paul and AD have kind of intimated that one of the two teams that they would do a long-term deal with would be the Knicks. But let's say that the Knicks weren't on this list. Say it's either the Nets or the Clippers, and you get AD for a year, it doesn't make sense because you're not winning a championship, right? For the Knicks, they're not winning a championship. So if you're only going to get AD for a year, it doesn't make sense. You haven't done the requisite background building like we've talked about many times with Usai Ujiri. Musa Ujiri, who did it with, you know, Siakam and Fred VanVleet and obviously Kyle Lowry is there, but the base isn't there for some of these teams. The only team that it makes sense for really is the Los Angeles Lakers, because if the Lakers should get Anthony Davis and he's only there for a year, they have a legit chance to win a championship because LeBron is there. Now, they're likely have to give up some of those other young pieces, but you got two of the biggest stars, the best players in the NBA. It makes sense. So in some regards, I don't know if I got this clear enough, what Rich Paul essentially has done has made Anthony Davis's only viable landing spot be the Los Angeles Lakers. And it's manipulation to its finest, and I can't help but think that LeBron is behind it. Let's get to William, who's out in Las Vegas. William, welcome to Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, what's going on? I think it's great. I think what he's doing, especially because he's doing it in a major market, mm-hmm. is undoing what a lot of that I brought it up previously with the collective bargaining agreement does.
Good point.
By screwing big market teams.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Now, as far as the Toronto thing, if a team like Boston takes a risk on Anthony Davis based on what Toronto was able to do, when they were already a 55-56 team win, they should fire everybody in Boston. That should be the last thing Danny Ainge does if he takes a flyer on Anthony Davis without some kind of guarantee.
Yeah, well,
it is not the same situation.
Hey, William, and to make it worse, he's basically, well, first of all, his father, appreciate your call, William, his father basically said he's not staying in Chicago, I mean, in Boston. That was probably 6 or 7 months ago. And now he's not included on this list that Rich Paul put out of the really the two. It's not really a list. It's binary. It's two places that he would potentially sign to. What was that, Samter?
So here's my question. So obviously within this SI article, the main thing that we took out of it,
yes,
was that he basically said no matter where he goes, not just the Celtics and even not even the Lakers or the Knicks who are on the list.
Yeah.
No matter where he goes next year, if he's in New Orleans or if he gets traded to the Lakers or the Knicks or the Blazers or wherever, he's going to become a free agent in 2020. Now, obviously, the Knicks and the Lakers will believe that they have a better chance to re-sign him,
mm-hmm.
but it's a big risk to take to trade for him and then not know that you're getting that contract signed immediately.
I agree.
But here's the question then.
So it only makes sense for the Lakers.
But here's the question then. It makes sense for others because here's if you're the Lakers and you have all this young, you know, talent, quote-unquote,
yes.
You know, Kuzma, Lonzo, Ingram and all the other guys who are there. Do you really want to give all those guys up knowing that you have like a 50-50 chance of re-signing him? Or is this Paul's way of saying, you know what? I don't want the Pelicans to trade Anthony Davis. And so what I want to have happen is he's just going to meander here in New Orleans for this year and then go to whatever team he wants to go to without them having to give up their biggest assets. Is this his way of saying, listen,
oh, I see. I see what you're saying. So
I don't want the team that he's going to go to, whether it's the Knicks or whoever, to give up the assets.
So let's go back to the Carmelo Anthony example.
I'm just going to waste a year here.
When Carmelo left Denver, he shouldn't have. He should have just waited until the end of the season and then gone to the New York Knicks. Instead, He came via trade, which gave up all of the Knicks' developed assets, and Carmelo's there on the team by himself, and we all know what happened. Nothing. He stayed irrelevant. And so it was cool. It was a great signing. You're a Knicks fan. You're like, yeah, we got Carmelo. And then you're like, all right, but no one else. And you get a guy who ball hawks it and because he has to. You want to knock Carmelo, but who else was scoring the rock when he was there? That's an interesting point. Maybe. But still.
Although LeBron probably doesn't have that year to waste.
Exactly.
AD probably does. The Knicks do.
But the Knicks absolutely do. AD does. LeBron does it. And the connection between LeBron.
So maybe he
AD
doesn't really want
Rich
him to
Paul.
Go to the Lakers. Maybe he's only putting the Lakers on the list to appease his other client, LeBron. Really, maybe AD just wants to go to New York.
No,
and he knows
that
they're going to have to wait a full year.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it LeBron's agency? Right? It's basically LeBron's agency. I feel like that's...
Yes and no, but if AD is Rich Paul's client, AD's like, listen, dude, I really don't want to play with LeBron. I really just don't want to play with him.
I don't think he would say that. Let's get MJ, who's down in Florida. MJ, welcome to Tiki and Tierney. What's happening?
Thank you, Tiki, for taking my call. I'm originally from the greater Boston area, so
okay.
I have a little bit of bias. But you hit the nail on the head on the last segment when you talked about the LeBron situation and the firing of the coach. Now, we've seen players in the past get coaches fired and whatnot, but I think what I took from what you said was, and the reason why I don't follow the NBA like I used to back in the 80s and 90s, is because of all this drama.
Yeah,
all
it's
this
a
stuff
lot.
You're talking about, and I can't. I just want to watch the game, you know. I don't.
You want to see the development, right? You want to see a guy get better from year one to year two to three and four, and then
you know, seeing like the old Boston Celtics and the old Laker teams and the Chicago teams and Philly, they built their teams from within, so to speak.
Yeah,
drafting it.
You're right.
I don't like, and I'm an old salt. You know, my kids don't understand what losing is. You know, because I grew up when Boston was terrible.
Yeah,
but. Except for the Celtics, but, you know, now we're fortunate and my kids just don't, they're spoiled. But it goes back to all this drama every day.
Yeah.
The Twitter, the Facebook.
You're right.
Too much.
You're right. There's all that communication. There's all that, you know, MJ, good luck with the Bruins tonight. Game 7 is going to be awesome. JR is going to talk to us about it in about 20 minutes or so. But you're right. And again, I back up a little bit and say maybe this is just a LeBron problem. This is a LeBron issue. Because look what happened in Cleveland. He comes back to Cleveland. They had hired David Blatt. He's like, I don't like David Blatt. I want Ty Lue. And so it's like all this drama just created. Look, he won a championship. Or a lot of it was because of circumstance. But it is what it is. They won a championship. You know, Draymond gets suspended and Kyrie knocks down that big shot. They come back from 3-1. But it worked out for them. But it was a lot of manipulation and a lot of drama. It's good because it puts you on the front page. It puts you at the top of programs and lead shows. But it is very, very, very frustrating. Let's get Tom, who's down in Georgia. Welcome to Tiki and Tierney, Tom. How you doing?
Hey, Tiki. What's going on?
Oh, it's good.
Hey, listen. First of all, I'm a diehard Knicks fan.
Okay.
So, with them, what they did with, getting Carmelo from Denver, I believe that it would be, like the last caller said, a great idea for AD to stay for the 1 year. And then any other team, they don't have to give up anything
You're right.
for him.
You're right.
They just go freely to where he wants to go.
Ideally, that's what should happen. But, you know, the Pelicans can't let that happen. You know what I mean?
Now,
I mean, look how bad that looks for the Pelicans if their biggest asset over the last, 7 years just bounces and they get nothing back for it. Time for one more. Let's get Blake down in Virginia. Blake, what's happened? Welcome to Tiki and Tierney.
Yeah, I was thinking the whole thing about LeBron and the first super team down in Miami.
Yep.
I think that with the CBA, man, they really had a chance there, like in some power to – do good, you know, and for all of the players in the league, you know, have all the teams have a chance to be, at least somewhat competitive. But
well, I think they tried, Blake. They tried, right? They gave incentive to players to stay with their native or first teams by giving them an extra, $20 million or $30 million. The problem is when you're making $200, it doesn't matter. Right, the 30 doesn't matter when you're making 200, especially if you're going to go to a championship team. Right, you're right, but I think the problem, Blake, and you make a great point. But the problem is the money escalated so quickly. And I kind of remember this, you know, when it was happening. Michelle Roberts, she's the head of the union, was talking about tiering in the increase, the TV increase, or the league wanted to tier in the increase as opposed to dumping it all in 1 year, just to like monitor it to see what happened, see what the impact was going to be. They didn't do that. They dumped all that TV money in at one time, and all of a sudden these contracts became enormous, $200+ million. And so the incentive to stay with your original team was absolutely gone. It didn't matter. You're going to make it up by winning jersey sales, endorsements, shoe deals. If you're on a champion, if you're a rising superstar, you're on a championship team, you're getting a $80 to $100 million Nike deal. So, I mean, you mitigate any lost expense, revenue income by staying with your original team. I mean, or leaving your original team, I should say. It's interesting. It's changed a lot. It changed a whole lot from the days of Dominique Wilkins, Atlanta legend, basketball Hall of Famer. He joins us next on Tiki and Tierney to talk a lot of things, including how hard or easy it is to recover from an Achilles injury, which he did, and now we know KD obviously has as well. But first, let's get an update from Richard Ackerman. It's time to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or go to Twitter and tweet us your question at CBS Sports Radio, also using the hashtag AskThePros. We'll be listening later on in the show, or you should be listening later on in the show when I will answer one of your questions. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Tiki Barber here on CBS Sports Radio. Dominique Wilkins is going to join us in a little bit. And Dominique, basketball Hall of Famer, Atlanta legends. He is part of the board that I am on as well, Culture City, which is an autism inclusion and acceptance organization. One of the things, great things that we've been doing around the country is making venues sensory inclusive. I think the latest one was the National Veterans Memorial and Museum in Cleveland. Obviously, State Farm Arena, formerly Phillips Arena, down in Atlanta, where the Hawks play, is sensory inclusive. MetLife Stadium, there's a ton of them. Pirates. I forget what this field is, and for the Pirates in Pittsburgh, they are sensory inclusive. It's a great initiative. PNC Park, yeah, that's right. Thank you, Samther. It's a great initiative that is including a lot of venues that otherwise felt inaccessible for kids with sensory processing issues. Those are with autism. That's also veterans with PTSD, et cetera. And we're joined now by Dominique Wilkins, who's been amazing for us at Culture City. He recently, through a meet and greet, was able to raise about $50,000 for a meet and greet with Gary Vaynerchuk. So, Dominique, I appreciate everything you do for Culture City, and I thank you for hopping on with me today. How you doing, man? We lost him. I think we just lost him. We'll reconnect him. I heard the phone click off. But, yeah, Dominique raised a bunch of money for us and has been awesome with our board meetings. We do our board meetings down there at State Farm Arena because it's easy to get there, right? It's a simple flight from here. It takes, I don't know, an hour and a half. Our founders, Doctors Julian and Michelle Maha, they're from Alabama. They just drive over. And Dominique's back with us on CBS Sports Radio. How you doing, Dominique?
How you doing, man?
I am great, man. I just want to thank you again for all the work that you do for us at Culture City. And I know you just raised a bunch of money for a meet and greet with Gary Vee.
Right.
So I appreciate you, man. You're doing great things in the short time that you've been involved with us. And hopefully it's a long-lasting relationship.
Well, it really is. You know, Julian is a great guy and has really developed a wonderful, charity, really giving back to people who desperately need it. And so anytime I can be a part of something like that, I'm always ready to go because, I have a special needs daughter, so I understand the everyday struggles.
Yeah, and that's really what Culture City is all about. It's the everyday struggles of families with kids in need and family members in need. Let me ask you about your Achilles. You know you did this during your playing days. It's not an easy thing to come back from, especially back then.
Right.
What was the process like to get healthy and, really more importantly, feel comfortable again? Because that's the question that a lot of people are going to be asking about Kevin Durant.
Well, you know, the thing is Kevin, you know, everybody's asked me to have a talk to him yet. You know, what he has to do is kind of, you know, get over the shock of, you know, tearing his Achilles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so he has to have time to heal from an emotional standpoint. But, you know, once that happens and, you know, you go through, you know, whatever surgery you're going to have to go through, then you got to get to a point where, okay, how do I get back? How fast do I get back? But what type of things do I need to do to rehab this Achilles as far as getting back to the level I once was?
Yeah. How long?
And it took me,
I was going to ask
me
you.
9 months.
9 months.
To a year.
Yeah, but that's relatively quick. I mean, you were a physical specimen, Neek. We all remember that. You know, the human highlight machine, and you know, ability to jump through the gym basically. And so you had the musculature, you know what I mean, to kind of recover from that. KD is, I mean, he can't even bench 135 pounds. I don't think. I mean, he's lanky. But how does this work?
But this is the thing. It's about the hard work you put in. And Kevin, knowing Kevin like I know Kevin, he is a hardworking guy.
Yeah.
He loves the game. And when you're that committed to the game, he'll do whatever it takes to get back. I have no doubt in my mind that he would do the necessary things to get him back at the level he left.
Yeah.
So, you know, certain guys you don't worry about when it comes to that, and he's one of them.
Yeah, it's kind of like Adrian Peterson in the NFL. He tore his ACL 8 months later. He rushed for 2,000 yards. Dominique Wilkins, Basketball Hall of Famer, Atlanta legend, human highlight reel, joins us here on Tiki and Tierney. Dominique, how soon do you felt like yourself again?
You know what? Like I said, it's a long process because you might go through the first 4 or 5 months where it doesn't feel like you can do anything.
Yeah.
You know, you have no explosion. But, you know, because I practiced every day, twice a day for 9 months, I got to the point where I got comfortable. Now, that comfortability didn't come to probably that ninth month.
Yeah.
And I remember I was on the court playing. I was practicing. And I hit the ground really hard, and I grabbed my Achilles, but I didn't have any pain. And I said to myself, I said, you know what? If this thing going to go out, it's going to go out on my terms. I'm going to go all out.
Yeah.
And so I had to get it out of my head. But it's that body of work that I put in to get to that point that really got me back at the level I left the game.
Yeah. No, and then eventually you're fine. You go back and you don't even think about it. Once you have that moment where, man, did it tear? Oh, it didn't tear. I'm good to go. You go forward. And we hope that's what happens with KD going forward.
And the thing is, you know, you don't want to overcompensate, you know, for that injury once you come back. Once you're at 100%, you know, you got to, you know, go out on faith too as well as your body of work that you put in. And I was just determined. I'm a very competitive guy. And I wasn't going to give all the doubters and the critics the satisfaction to say I was done or if I come back, I wouldn't be the same.
Yeah.
And I think KD is going to be at that same level. And I think he'll come back and he'll do just fine.
Yeah, he's 30 now, but that's not old anymore in the world of sports.
No.
Neek, you know, let's look at this series. And without KD, we saw the Golden State Warriors find a way to win Game 5 on the road in Toronto. There's an emotional, I guess, drain that comes from losing KD. But I think in some ways, and correct me if I'm wrong, they almost felt like KD was their crutch, right? We need him. As soon as he comes back, he's going to be our savior. But now that he's not coming back, other guys have to find a way to step up. How do the Golden State Warriors do that? We know Steve Kerr is a great coach. They have great players. But how do they do that?
You know, I think it was an emotional win for Golden State. And I have to give them a lot of credit because, you know, they hung in there. They fought and they fought and they fought and they gave themselves a chance to win. I thought Toronto blew a golden opportunity to not have to go back to Golden State. And so they're going to be on an ultimate high. But to win without KD, it's going to be difficult. Now, it can be done, but it's going to be difficult. But I have to really I have so much respect for KD, even more so now.
Yeah.
Because he's a true warrior and soldier to go out there knowing that his injury wasn't 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't want to leave his troops out there by themselves. And so I applaud him for that.
Yeah, no.
Didn't give up. Didn't quit.
I agree with you, Dominique. And a lot of people want to throw flame and put it on the organization or the medical staff or the Bob Myers or whoever. But you're an athlete. It's what you do, right? They don't pay you to sit on the sideline.
Exactly. The guy loves to play. And that's why I have so much respect for him. I was the same type of guy.
Yeah.
That, you know, if I –
I felt like if I wasn't out there fighting with my guys, I let my team down. I let the organization down. So it wasn't about for me what the organization wanted me to do. It's what I wanted to do to be there with my teammates,
yeah.
You know, because, you know, I love to play the game. So, you know, and whatever happens, happen. I live with that.
You're right. Dominique Wilkins, Basketball Hall of Famer, Atlanta legend, joins us here on Tiki and Tierney. Let me ask you a philosophical question about the game now. This wasn't the case when you were playing. You know, got to win a championship. My legacy is 100% dependent on winning a championship. That wasn't the case. I mean, you're still an icon, and you didn't win one.
I don't really buy that.
Yeah, but now guys seem like they want to do that. Where'd that come from?
Look, you know what? There's a lot of super players,
yes,
who've never won a championship.
Does right.
that diminish their greatness? No.
You
know, I think, you know, hey, you're just fortunate. You got to be fortunate and lucky and a little bit blessed to win a championship. There's only one team that wins it every year, you know. And so, you know, unfortunately, everybody don't get a chance to win. You know, you put yourself in a position to, you know, hopefully, you know, if you're lucky enough, you can, you know, go home with a championship. But I think there's so much emphasis on, you know, I got to win. That's the only way I can identify with the greatest to ever play.
Yeah.
I think it's totally wrong.
I think you're right. I think the greatest that ever plays in people's minds of what I saw, right? I saw a guy do it every single night, right? It's not necessarily about winning the championship. Maybe that solves an argument, like a sports radio argument. That'll solve it. But it doesn't change, you know, what people see on a night-to-night basis. You know, let me transition real quick because we only got a couple minutes here, Dominique. Let me transition to the Hawks, right? Because we know what with yeah. Trae Young. I mean, he could have. It wasn't for Luka Doncic, who just had a ridiculous rookie season. Trae Young would have won the Rookie of the Year. You know, somehow Vince Carter's still playing. I don't know how he's still hanging around.
I don't know how it's amazing.
Yeah. Tell me about the state of the Hawks right now, because I know that you guys have 6 picks, 4 in the first, right? 2 in the first and 4 in the second. There's an opportunity this year for you guys to really get good. Where are the Atlanta Hawks right now?
Well, first of all, let me just say with Trae Young, first of all, he is my rookie of the year. I mean, the kid was amazing. He's set a lot of records this year and just a phenomenal young player and got that it factor. So I love Trae Young. I think the state of our team is really, really positive. We got a lot of very, very good young talent and guys who wants to get better, wants to learn, wants to develop. And so we're going nowhere but up, in my opinion. And, you know, of course, we got the ability this year to do some things creatively. And, you know, I think our coaching staff, as well as our GM, Travis Link, will do what's necessary to make our team even better. So we're in a great position, and I just love our young talent.
Yeah, I do too. We talked to your head coach, Lloyd Pierce, last year, I believe. And I didn't, to be honest with you, I wasn't familiar with him. How's he been?
Oh, he's wonderful. I mean for a first-year young coach and to really get guys to buy into what he believed in his system was pretty incredible. The second half of the season, I thought our young guys played amazing, and that was all due to Coach Pierce.
Yeah, yeah, you get it. You get it from the coach. Dominique, I appreciate you hopping on with us for a couple minutes. I know that you'll continue to be heavily involved with Culture City. We're doing some really good things. I look forward to seeing you again in the next few weeks. Culture Ball's around the corner down in Alabama. So I hope to see you soon. Appreciate you, Dominique.
No problem. See you there, bro.
Be good. Dominique Wilkins, the legend. Legend of the Atlanta Hawks, Basketball Hall of Famer. Yes, Samter, human highlight reel. He was a machine, though. He was ridiculous the way
he
played.
And just to clarify, I was looking at an old draft board. So the Hawks now, with that trade with the Nets,
I thought they
now
had
do
four.
Have three first-round picks and three second-round
picks.
Three.
I knew they had 6. I couldn't remember how they were all parsed out. But look, they have a chance to get really good in a year if they draft the right guys. And Lloyd Pierce, who seemingly is the right coach, can get them all on the same page. A Game 7 is happening in the NHL tonight. The St. Louis Blues visiting the Boston Bruins. There's tons of advantages for the Bruins. But is it the Blues' fate? We'll discuss that on the other side of this break as Jeremy Roenick, NHL on NBC analyst, hops on with us. JR is the best. He'll break it all down for us. And whether or not Tuukka Rask, even if they lose, could win the MVP. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.